Well, where are these flowers from? They from out of your garden? Hold your thumbs up. Let me see if they're green. Those are absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for those. I have two little pitiful irises blooming, and so I'm a little bit jealous, a little bit envious of those beautiful flowers. So the one that I do have blooming, one of them that I have blooming is a yellow one that came from my mother. And so that's quite special to be able to have kept that over the years. And so I certainly enjoy the flowers, but those are absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Title of my message today out of the book of Ecclesiastes, Say What? That's the title of the message. Say what? Say what? Has anyone ever said that to you? Say what? You should say something and say what? So we've been studying in our Sunday school, and we've been taking a review of each book of the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, and we're taking and giving each book a title that has just three words, and it starts with the first word starts with the same letter as the book. So Ecclesiastes starts with E, and our summary for Ecclesiastes is what? Emptiness in life. So that's the summary of that. So we've been doing that in Sunday school. And so there's a lot of emptiness that Solomon shares because he's looking away from what God has said, what God has given him. He's not using the wisdom that God gave him. So it gets him in trouble. Same thing with us as believers. God has given us wisdom. God has given us the indwelling Holy Spirit. God has given us the wisdom of his word. If we turn from that and look another direction, we can have some difficulties. And some people might look at us and say what? They did that? Or sometimes we might get in a situation because we've not used God's wisdom, and we might be saying to ourselves, say what? You did what? You said what? So a title of a message is, say what? You like a joke? It's okay if I tell a dad joke. Dad jokes are what, supposed to be corny? My friend says sometimes that was so corny, Del Monte might be calling you to can that. So, but it's okay. What was the reason that Beethoven decided to get rid of all of his chickens? Why did Beethoven decide to get rid of all of his chickens? And no one knows. You know why Beethoven decided to get rid of all of his chickens? Because he got tired of hearing them walk around the yard saying, bawk, 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 bawk. I heard that on the radio this week. Was that left better unsaid? Would have been better if I had not told that joke. You want another dad joke? No, that's all right. I don't have any more right now. Better left unsaid. Do you ever watch Cops? I love watching Cops. There's a whole channel that just has nothing but Cops. And my wife gets so tired of seeing it. When I was growing up, all three of the kids, when they were growing up, we watched Cops so much, I was certain one of them would wind up being a cop, but it didn't take place. When you watch Cops or you watch Live PD, anybody like Cops or Live PD? I'm not the only one. Couple of you. All right, so Live PD, Northwoods Law, all those shows, I like watching them. But as you watch them, do you ever hear some of the suspects, almost said criminals, but they're suspect, only making their situation worse by continuing to talk? Sometimes the officer even encourages an individual, it would be better if you just stop right there and don't say any more because you're self-incriminating yourself. Or the police officer asks, is there anything that is illegal in your pockets or in your vehicle? And they will say, no, you won't find anything. And then what happens? They find something, a knife, a gun. The criminal goes on to say, they know that they're lying, and our constitution of our country allows us the right to not answer or to get legal help before responding. Even the police officer will say to them, you have the right to remain silent, and you have the right to have an attorney to get one, If you can't afford one, the honest people, I mean the taxpayers, I mean the state will provide you one. But some of the criminals, some of the people, suspects, continue to open their mouth and dig themselves a bigger and a deeper hole. Do you realize that the Bible addresses the issue concerning how much we should speak, or how we should speak, or when we should decide that it's time to be quiet? Solomon addresses that in this. Occasionally, Solomon would remember to use the wisdom the Lord had given him, and even share in the midst of his constable saying that everything around him was vainless or useless, he would lead us back to wise thinking. He would lead us back to words that were great wisdom that God had given him. He's on target in his conversation in the book of Ecclesiastes when we look at what we're seeing today. When we look at what we see today is a lot of similarities of some of the things that he wrote in the book of Proverbs. So stand as we think about, say what? In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, say what? When is it time to speak? When is it time to be quiet? Now, he addressed a little bit of this earlier in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Is there time to speak? Is there time to be silent? There's a time to rejoice? There's a time to mourn? But now he's really a lot on this conversation thing. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest in the house of the Lord. In other words, be careful when you go. When it says this expression, keep thy foot, is be careful how you walk in your conversational life. That's what that acronym means, or that phrase means. When you goest in the house of the Lord, and be more ready to hear than to give a sacrifice of fools. For they consider not what they do evil. James addressed something similar to that. James said, be careful, be slow to speak and quick to hear. Verse number 2, and be not rash with thy mouth, and let thine heart be hasty. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitudes of words. When thou vowest a vow unto the Lord, defer not to pay it, or refuse not to pay it, or make sure that you pay it. For he that has no pleasure in fools, pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is for thou that should not vow than thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not the mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angels that this was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitudes of dreams and many words there is also divers vanities, but fear thou God. What a tremendous word from Solomon for us to think about the use of words. The use of language is a great gift that God has given us to be able to communicate. But Solomon's saying, be careful with your communications before people and before the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Once again, we marvel at how the word of God was written by man, written by you, that both could take place at the same time. That, Lord, some of these portions of your word are 3,000-4,000 years old, but they're still so relevant to us today. Father, we thank you that you know our needs, and that you can meet them through the reading and studying your word. We pray you might do that today. Speak to us, cleanse us, strengthen us, instruct us, that we might be excited with service for you, that we know by your Holy Spirit, by your word, we're fully equipped to do ministry for you. We pray that you accept our worship and praise as we honor you through your word and the study of it. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Say what? Say what? Let's look at some general observations that we can conclude, that we can deduct from these verses, and then we'll look at a little quick outline of some of these thoughts about being careful what we say, words that we say. Verse number 1, keep thy foot. Keep thy foot means be careful of your walk. The words of the fool tries to justify their actions before God, rather than seek for mercy, grace, and forgiveness. So he's saying in verse 1, be careful when you come into the house of God, and don't come before God's altar or come before God's presence and say, well, God, I did this, and the reason I did this, even though you would say it's wrong, I have a right to do this. He says, don't do that. He says to be careful with our words. And sometimes arrogance or great pride can keep people from coming before the Lord and getting God's forgiveness, love, and mercy. There's a lot of folks in our world today that if we share the gospel with them, they'll say, I don't need that. That's pride that keeps them away. But as they continue to observe our lives, they will see a changed life and want what we have. He says, be careful. And so for each of us, that's a warning. When we come into God's house, when we come to a time of prayer, come with humbleness, come with attitude of gratitude, and come before the Lord being thankful that we can receive his mercy and his love and an audience before the God of heaven. An observation from verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, and be not rash in thy mouth, be not thine heart to be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Let thy words be few. Now, he's not saying that we shouldn't talk. He's not saying that we shouldn't share. He's not saying that my sermons couldn't be 2 hours long if I wanted it to be. But y'all probably wouldn't get very much from it if it was 2 hours long. He's not saying don't say anything. He's saying be careful with your words. Don't be rash with your words. Don't just be hasty in your speaking. Nothing is done or said that is not observed by God. Have you ever wished that you could go back and clean the slate? Ever wished that you could go back and take something back that you said to your mother? As we think about Mother's Day, I do. Most of us probably do. Or a time that we should have reached out to Mom and we didn't because we were too busy with this or that or the other. Be careful with your words because everything is open and seen before God. And the Bible tells us not only that our words known by God, but also our very thoughts. I didn't say it, but boy, I sure thought it. You ever heard that phrase? I've used that phrase. I didn't say it, but I sure thought it. God even knows that, doesn't he? This is the doctrine of omnipresence of God. The doctrine of omnipresence means God is everywhere present at the same time. There's nowhere that we can go and hide from God's presence. This also teaches the God of omniscience. Omniscience means it comes from the word omni and from the word science, all knowing. God knows all. There's things that we've done that we're very pleased about that God knows. There's things that we've done that we're very disappointed that God knows. Thankful through the blood of Jesus Christ, God offers forgiveness for every one of those. God reminds us through the words of the Lord Jesus that God is so omniscient, so all-knowing, that he says not even a sparrow falls to the ground without God's knowledge. So God says if he cares for the sparrows and he knows about their every being and their every doing, he knows about ours. Verse number three, a fool will often say so much that their words get them nowhere or in more trouble. He says in verse 3, for a dream cometh through the multitudes of business. In other words, a plan will prosper through planning and active work. But the opposite of that, and a fool's voice is known by the multitudes of words. A fool just keeps on, boy, I'm going to do this. Boy, I've done this. And boy, I'm going to. And nothing ever gets done. It's better to have a few words and get something done. The fool will brag about what they are going to do someday, or they will boast about their sins and set their minds and their self in a trap, boasting about what they've done. Now, let me illustrate this. Unfortunately, it took place just this week, how sometimes foolishness of people's activity and their boasting about it gets them in trouble. Did y'all hear about William Monroe High School this week? Anybody hear about William Monroe High School, Greene County? Well, Connie has some family over in Greene County, and her cousin got a notification, I think it was Thursday morning, 7 o'clock, no school today at William Monroe High School because of vandalism. One of the windows was unlocked and kids went in. I would suspect that kid unlocked that window knowing what they were going to do and went in and toilet papered the hallways and did other damage. I don't know what all the extent of the damage was. I didn't watch too much of the video, but we read about it. Did all kinds of things. Foolishness. Because that's breaking and entering. That's destruction of government property. But then, guess what they did? They took pictures of it and put it on Snapchat. Does that illustrate this verse? A fool by the multitudes of the words? I hope they learned their lesson and grow from it. Verse number 4 and verse number 5. God takes our words, especially vows, very serious. Vow. A vow before the Lord. Have you ever promised God you were going to do something? Did you carry through? You ever made a promise that you didn't keep before the Lord? I have. God takes vows very serious. That's why God takes the vow of marriage very serious. God takes the vow of salvation very serious. God takes all of our vows very serious. God takes our contracts when we sign a contract very serious. God says, if you don't plan to keep it, don't make it. Verse number 7, everything in life comes back down to the matter of fearing God. Verse number 7, in the multitudes of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. If there was more fear of God in our country, we'd have a different country, would we not? If there was more fear of God in our churches, we'd have different churches around the world, around the country. There was more fear of God in their individual hearts, we'd live our lives in a different manner. And the fear of God is not just afraid, as we've said before, but it is honoring God that we owe God our life. Our very breath comes from God. Our very salvation comes from God. The joys that we enjoy, as we talked about last week, they come as a gift from God. So, back to more taking an outline and moving on from our general observation. Our title is, Say What? Say What? So, let's read verse number 2 again, and we'll look there and kind of move on there from other portions of Scripture that verify what we're reading here. Be not rash with thy words, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. There are some people that have real easy time with letting their words be few. They're not very outspoken, as we use the word. Me, on the other hand, I'm a babbling brook. My wife is a little different from me. She's more outgoing than she used to be. Maybe I'm a little bit less. We've kind of moved toward the middle a little bit. But I'm the babbling brook, and she's the more quiet one. And a lot of times in marriage, you have that dynamic. One is one, and one is the other. And so these are hard for me. Let your words be few. I remember years ago, our son Daniel, our youngest son, you've met him a couple months ago, our youngest son Daniel went with some friends to Charlottesville, from Fauquier to Charlottesville, to go to like a Monster Jam show or something. And the lady that carried him, Liz, and her husband that carried him, said he talked from Charlottesville all the way back. They thought for sure after taking him up there in the show, he'd lay back in the car and go to sleep like most kids would. No, all the way. She wanted to take a nap, and Daniel wanted to talk. He got that from me. A babbling brook. But God says, let your words, in other words, let your words be careful. Let your words be monitored. Let your words be filtered before you speak them. Verse number 2, Solomon said to be careful. Solomon should have been more careful when he was inviting people wives and concubines and making covenants with these other nations. When Solomon was doing, instead of being a man of war like his father and defeating people to make peace for Jerusalem, he would make treaties with these other nations, and oftentimes he would marry for himself wives, or let the daughters of these other nations and kings come to him, and they wanted their daughter to marry this man who had all the splendor in Jerusalem, and he wouldn't have to fight against them like their father David had fought against their fathers. And Solomon's words, if they would have been fewer than that, would have saved him a whole lot of trouble. But Solomon tells us here to be careful. Solomon was saying a lot of things already in this book that he was not deeply thinking about them before he said them. He knew better. Solomon knew better that God has a great dominion, and God is greater than just the physical eye to be able to see. Sometimes we compare God to what we know about ourselves, and we get stuck in a rut of not realizing how powerful God is. God is greater than all the imaginations of men. God is greater than all the science and knowledge of mankind. And he tells us that we need to be careful before him. Let your words be few, Solomon says, and Solomon would have been well to take the advice. Now, let's look at some other passages in the Word of God that teaches us about the use of our verbal communications. I want to observe some other passages that tells us something similar about being careful with your words. Let your words be few. Just some places in the Old and the New Testament. First of all, number one, from Solomon. Another place that Solomon says something very similar to what he's saying here. As Solomon writes his great wisdom in Proverbs, Solomon's writing his great disappointments in Ecclesiastes, and then Solomon is writing the Song of Solomon, his great enjoyment. Proverbs is great wisdom, Ecclesiastes is great emptiness or disappointments, and Song of Solomon is great pleasure in marriage life. So look at Proverbs 17, and from Solomon, another place that he speaks about words and carefulness of speech and mouth. From Solomon, the wisdom of few words. That's what I'm titled point number one. From Solomon, the wisdom of few words. Look at chapter 17 and verse number 28. The wisdom of few words. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And the he that shutteth his lip is esteemed a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he zips the lip, as we sometimes say, even a fool, even a person that's not real wise, a wise thing for him to do would to be quiet in certain situations. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted as wise. And he that shutteth his lips is, now your verse might say, is esteemed. Mine's in italicized. It means it's not there in the original language, but it helps with clarification. The verse could very easily read, shutteth his lips is a man of understanding. Esteemed. In other words, lifted up. It helps us to understand that verse. So anytime you're reading through your Bible and there's an italicized word that means it's not in the original language, but it's put there to help maybe with that. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. There's a couple places in the New Testament where it shouldn't have been there, and we won't talk about that right now. Few words from a fool is a wise move. The shutting of the lips is often a person of understanding. I knew a man years ago that sometimes we would be in a meeting. And oftentimes in our meetings, there was many that would open their mouths and give conversation and give input. And sometimes this gentleman, you would go a meeting or two and not a word from him. But when he did speak at a meeting, You knew what? Well, it's time to listen. Because there's most often going to be some words of wisdom. He listened a lot and he spoke very little. Remember the old commercial? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. Remember that? Remember that? Lindsay, they might cling that to you later. Remember that? You remember that? No? Yeah? No? 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 You remember? You remember? Thinks he does. Andrew thinks he does. Wisdom sometimes is in quietness. So I hope you're not saying, well, Pastor, we're not going to listen to you anymore because you said you're a babbling brook. It doesn't mean that people that do talk a lot don't have something good to say. Sometimes people will talk with an explanation before they hear all of the problem. I've gotten in trouble with that as a husband. We're bad about that sometimes, aren't we, men? Sometimes the wife hasn't fully explained it all. Sometimes she really doesn't want to answer all. She just wants us to listen. And we're solving the problem. We're solution-oriented. That's the way men usually are wired. And she's halfway into it. Already, we got an answer. She don't want an answer. She just wants us to listen. We don't know the difference sometimes, do we, men? I heard this interesting, heard it a couple times recently. This is just kind of a little sidebar. How come it is when churches where the pastor chooses to speak on like Mother's Day, on mothers, I'm more through the Bible and keep on going through. How come it is always when the pastor speaks about mothers, he talks about all the wonderful things that mothers are and all the wonderful things that women have done as mothers. But when it comes to his message on Father's Day, it's always about what fathers need to do better. You ever notice that? Fathers, you need to do this more. You need to be involved more. Oh, women, what? No. Well, we both can learn, can't we? We learn from Solomon, let our words be few and listen. And listen. The words of wisdom. The words that Solomon say here in Proverbs 17 is the wisdom of a few words. Now let's look at another place. We looked at from Solomon in the Old Testament. Let's look at words from the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. And this title is The Foolishness of Many Words, as Solomon has already spoken about, and Jesus tells about it. In Matthew chapter 6, turn to Matthew 6. When you get to Matthew chapter 6, you're in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus begins his ministry, he gives one of the longest sermons you'll find in the Bible. Next to the message that Moses gave in Proverbs, it's probably one of the longest sermons in the Bible. So Jesus was long-winded, so when I'm long-winded, I know that I'm in good company with the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, in the midst of that Sermon on the Mount, and some of y'all say, well, we're not on mountains, so you can't speak that long. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shuttest the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions. In other words, many multiple words. As the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard by their much speaking. Now, I think about when I hear Jesus say that, I think about the contrast between Elijah on the Mount Carmel when he built the altar and he poured the water on it. And he says, you build your altar and you pray. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed all day long. And they prayed and they cut themselves and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And the false gods, the wicked gods, the gods of imagination did nothing. And Elijah and the people of God prayed, and God sent down fire. They didn't have to use multiple words over and over again. And so Jesus here, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus covers a multitude of material in this message. All over the spectrum of the Old Testament, Jesus covers. And this is in the early part of his ministry. Jesus must have been busting at the seams, waiting for 30 years to get on the scene and start preaching and share with the people. And in these selected verses, Jesus is preaching concerning prayer, and Jesus is not saying that our prayer time has to be short. Don't misunderstand Jesus. He's not saying that your prayer time has to be real quick. Jesus is not teaching that our prayer time cannot be long. His main concern is not the length of prayer. Jesus says, now, he says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. He's saying, make sure that you have a private prayer life and not just a public prayer life. I was at a church years ago visiting with a friend of mine when I was in high school, spend the night with him. And he said, man, when we go to church on Sunday morning, Deacon so-and-so, boy, if he gets up to pray, sometimes he prays for almost 20 minutes. He's one of the best prayers you'll ever hear. And I thought about this passage where it was just over and over again, the same things over and over again. Was he praying to God or was he praying to be seen? I don't know. But Jesus addresses that many times in his ministry, and our prayers need to be a heartfelt communication before God and not to be seen of people, and not to think because we use multi-words or flowering words that God is going to hear us any better. The foolishness of many words in a prayer life. The master is telling us that public prayer is secondary to our prayer life in private. The Lord Jesus is saying that prayer is not a showtime. Jesus is teaching that our prayers are communication to God. Crying out before God and beseeching God. The wisdom of a few words. The foolishness of too many words. They were using vain repetition over and over and over again. And that's something we have to be careful. It is not better that we use big words and repetitive words, but words that are from the heart and to the heart of God in prayer life. Does it say prayer has to be short? Does it say after prayers have to be medium length or long length? Who determines what a short prayer and what a long prayer is? He's not saying that. He's saying be wise in our prayer that we are talking to the God of the universe, the God who made us, the God who loves us, the God who will judge us, the God who wants to save us, the God who wants to heal us, not talking to the people around us. You ever been around people when they pray, their prayer is more about trying to give other people instruction in the room that are listening? You ever been around that kind of prayer? When they're praying, oh dear God, I just pray that you would help these guys in this room to do this right and not to be up late tonight, and they would get the proper sleep. I was in some staff meetings like that years ago when the person was praying, and she was upset that these guys would stay up late at night and work on stuff because she was an early to bed and early to rise, and they weren't, and she would pray in her prayer, dear God, help these guys to do this. Was she talking to God, or was she trying to get a message across to the people in the room? Have you ever listened to somebody pray, and when they start praying, they don't talk in the same language that they talk every day in? They start talking in King James language. O thou goddess of the most highest, who evermorest, reignest on highest. Does God need that? No. Now, if that's where you feel comfortable, that's fine, but God doesn't have to have us speak in Elizabeth. He wants us to talk from our heart. And so the wisdom of a few words in prayer. Now, from the Apostle Paul, the wisdom of life in the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The wisdom of life in the church. And that's one of those little small books over there in the New Testament after 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, Ephesians. Second of those four books, Ephesians 5, 1 through 4. The wisdom of a life in the church, words in a church. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Boy, that's an amazing list there. And then look what he goes on to say. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving thanks. He's telling us about the wisdom of life and words in the church. In other words, that word gesturing means coarse language, harshness. Verse number 4, he is telling us the wisdom of words in the church life. Now, we don't have to be in this building to be in church life. Wherever we go, the church is, because we are the church. So he's not saying when you're in church, be careful. He's saying when you go wherever. And he says, avoid filthiness and foolish talk. Foolish talk is oftentimes filthy talk. You ever been on a job site? Most especially us men and guys come up and say, want to hear a joke? And you're like, yeah, man, I like a good joke. And then all of a sudden it turns real sour real quick. Maybe women experience that sometimes too, real nasty. We as Christians just have to walk away. We as Christians may just be kind and listen and give them a little bit of audience, but don't laugh. Don't give them encouragement. And also Christians are to be careful and not to be used filthy talk. Are you amazed at how often raunchy the talk is that comes out of people's mouth in public today? I used to be amazed. I used to be stunned. But I hear it so much. My wife and I were discussing this week, and she said it's the same thing at high school. She works at a high school in the cafeteria, and the kids are not ashamed just to use it any old time. I see parents with toddlers and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, 6-year-old kids and a conversation with other men and other people and filthy words that's coming out of their mouth. And I hope they're not going to punish that child when he says the same thing, because they're going to pick it up. How many of y'all ever got the toothbrush and soap bar treatment? Karen said she did. Karen's a good little girl. She's smarter than that. I got it. How about y'all? I got it. Say what? Say what? Used to be, a lot of gentlemen at least had the common decency, if there was a lady around or there were children around, they would stop that. My dad, occasionally I would hear him say some filthy words, but if there were women and children around, it wasn't happening. What happened? Our culture is changing immensely. They're using that language in school. But what does the Word of God say? For Christians, it should not be amongst us. James says that the Christian should not use the same mouth for cursing and for blessing. He says, does the same fountain produce fresh water and salty water at the same time? No. And so for the Christian, we need to guard our mouth. We see it sometimes even in business relationships. In the presence of women and children, it just is disgusting. Are y'all disgusted by it? I know I am. I'm sure Carol works in public. She works in a public building. Probably hears it all the time, don't you? No respect for women and for children. But most of all, people have forgotten that every word God hears and holds us accountable for it. Say what? Let our words be words of wisdom. May the Lord help us to be careful about what we say. May our words be gracious. May our words be filtered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say what? Can I believe I said that? So what do we do when we say something we know we shouldn't have said? What do we do when words come out of our mouth that shouldn't have come out? There's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. There's strength in the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit to have victory over that. And God says that we would give an account, so we should be careful. God is in heaven and we're upon the earth, but God is watching. Now, what do we do when we encounter other people that use that kind of language? Do we jump all over them real quick, try to correct them? Well, it depends. If it's your child, yes. If it's our grandchildren, yes. If we're in a position of authority in a classroom or someplace, yes. If it's a another Christian. Yes, we're in the position to mentor our brother or sister in Christ, to admonish them, to rebuke them. That's biblical. But make sure you do it in love and grace and kindness and strength of the power of the Holy Spirit. And share with them, it's not because I'm offended only. It's because of what God expects of us as believers. Sometimes you have to wait till you get that right relationship with other people. And so sometimes, what if it's with a non-Christian person and we've got to do business? You've got to do business. You just got to go and do business. Pray for them. Or if it's just in a general conversation with other people and you don't think the language is according to what God standard and you don't want to hear it, it's okay to excuse yourself from the conversation and say, hey, I need to move on. In love and gentleness and kindness. It's not harsh words back at evil words that's going to do any good. But it's doing the work that God calls us to do. Being salt and light in the world. Salt and light. Salt and light. Light shines in the dark places. Salt heals. It's used as a medicine. Salt preserves. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the teachings of the Word of God. And Father, help us to use the Word of God each day in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Follow you. Now, Lord, take this time of invitation. May we seal any decision that we make before you. If it's whether it's in our heart or public, we pray that you'd use this message, these words from your Word.